we go chapter by chapter through the Word. And every once in a while, we need to kind of camp on something because we're just starting out and we're new, like I camped on about prophecy a couple weeks ago. We had two or three, was it two? Yeah, it was two lessons on prophetic and the prophecy. Well, this one we're going to do is because we run across Elmaeus, who's a sorcerer, and this is in verse 7 and 8, which is how his name is translated, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul, who was Sergius Paulus, away from the faith. And Saul, this is in verse 9, 13, 9, Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared straight at the sorcerer and said, "You son of the devil, full of all deceit and all fraud, enemy of all righteousness, won't you ever stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord? Now look, the Lord's hand is against you, and you're going to be blind and will not see the sun for a time." And suddenly a mist and darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, seeing what happened, believed and was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. So we're going to camp on this tonight, and we're going to have a little study that is from our materials on Reclaiming Your Victory in Christ about the difference between miracles and magic, and also the difference between prophecy and being prophetic and clairvoyant, because there's a lot of clairvoyance in the church and it's coming across as prophetic. We call it pathetic, but it comes across as pathetic.
There's two verses that the reason why we're doing this is because it's just our opinion that we're heading into the last days. And God warns us about certain things, about being in this time. So the first verse is from Deuteronomy 13, and it's Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. It says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dream arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods whom you have not known, let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him." And then in Galatians 1, 8 through 9, twice he says, "But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you've received, let him be accursed." And so what we have to remember is that there are going to be people in this time who are going to do signs and wonders. And we have to have discernment, because just because somebody does a sign or a wonder doesn't mean they're from God. And that's why we're going to keep drumming it into you. Filter it through this. If it's not in here, run away. I don't care if you scream or not, that's up to you, but just run away and get out of there.
Now, one of the things that I think everybody knows is that we are, you know, we believe in miracles. Remember, most of the time we'll have the seat and we'll have people come up and get prayed over. But remember Carolyn, who couldn't talk for 2 years, and we prayed, and I mean, she can talk now. Kathy's dad with his bad knee and couldn't even walk, and we prayed over him at Christmas time, and here he's dancing when the snow was coming down.
The hula in the snow.
The hula in the snow. So we believe in that stuff, okay? And we pray for it. But we're also very careful about the false and the counterfeit. So on your paper, or wherever you're taking notes, you just may want to draw a line down the middle and put miracles on one side and magic on the other, because that's how our notes are, the difference between miracles and magic. Miracles and magic. Okay? All right. So, first thing is miracles are under God's control. Okay? Miracles are under God's control, whereas magic are under humans that are controlled by demonic forces. And the scripture verse is Exodus 3:19. "So I'll stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it." And after that, he let them go. So God says, "I'm going to stretch out my hands and you're going to see all my miracles." That's Exodus 3:19. We'll get to Ephesians later on.
It's an E. You got the E right.
Okay. So go ahead.
Okay, so number two. The miracles are a witness of the supremacy of God. So they're a witness of the supremacy of God, and it's both to believers and to unbelievers. Where magic is going to bring the glory to men or to their God with a little g. So the miracles are a witness of the supremacy of God, and the magic brings glory to men or to their God. And we have a whole bunch of verses under here. The first one is Exodus 7, 5 and 17. So it's Exodus 7, 5 and 17. Then Exodus 10, 2. And John 5, 36. So Exodus 7 says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt. By this you shall know that I am the Lord." And Exodus 10, 2. "And how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So that's one of the reasons. He's doing this so that you know that he's the Lord. And then John 5:36, "But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Okay, so number three. The miracles are what's called preternatural. It's P-R-E-T-E-R, natural.
It's almost like Peter natural.
Sorry, that's a whole issue on pride, if you go on Peter. The miraculous. You forgot to tell them about the dog and pony show, so they understand our teachings. The preternatural is where you have miraculous things existing or occurring out of the ordinary course of nature. That's what preternatural means. It's exceptional, extraordinary kind of things. So the miracles are the preternatural. The magic is supernormal power. So that means in excess of the normal or the average power. The preternatural is existing or occurring out of the ordinary course of nature. Very welcome. And then the supernormal power is in excess of the normal or the average, and it's also then mixed with the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And the paranormal are the events or perceptions that occur without scientific explanation, like clairvoyance and ESP and those kind of things. So the miracles are the preternatural. So they exist or occur out of the ordinary course of nature, and the supernormal is what the magic is. Supernormal mixed with the paranormal. And so a verse for that is Exodus 9:18. "I will send a very heavy hail which has not been seen in Egypt from the day that it was founded until now." Number four, miracles are done to glorify God in his will. So they should always point to him. If they're pointing to a person, you're in trouble. Magic is done to glorify a man. And it actually hardens the hearts towards God. So the miracles are done to glorify God in his will. The magic is done to glorify man and harden hearts towards God. So your Bible verses under that are Exodus 12:28. And 1 Kings 18:39. Exodus 12:28 and 1 Kings 18:39. So Exodus is, "And the people bowed low and worshiped." And 1 Kings is, "When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" So number five, miracles will not affect God's servants or those who listen to his word, where magic affects those that are not God's servants. So Exodus 8:22 is your first verse, and Exodus 9:20 and 26. It says, "But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people are living, so that no swarms of insects will be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord, I'm in the midst of the land." And Exodus says, the one among the servants of Pharaoh who revered the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. So this isn't all the time, but this is sometimes. God's miracles are going to happen, and it is really meant to the people who are not his people, but we're going to be protected during that. And the people who are the enemy, they're going to be affected.
I heard South Carolina is trying to be a Christian state, so should we all go there? Like the land of Goshen?
Sounds like Little Abner. Land of Goshen. Land of Goshen.
All right. Number six. Miracles turn people to commit to God, whereas the magic turns people away from God. Judges 2:7, and the people served the Lord for a generation who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So the Lord, you know, these miracles will turn people for a time to serving the Lord, but then after a while they start to forget, just like, you know, our anniversary coming up, right? 9/11.
Oh, I thought you meant our anniversary.
No, dear. The anniversary for Patriot Day, you know, 7 years, and people will, you know, oh yeah, I remember that. That was a long time ago. And they forget. But when it first happened, everybody, the whole churches were filled, right?
And you know, we have things that are going on right now that there's people in certain places and they're doing all sorts of miracles. To a T, every single person that has come from there, and I said, how does that glorify God? Nobody can tell me. What did you learn about God? Nobody can tell me. What did you learn in the Word? Nobody can tell me. But they can tell me all about the guy who's doing it. See, something's off balance there. If it's not bringing glory to God, you've got to be very, very careful. And sometimes there's a fine line. You know, I think it's Deuteronomy 20:20. It basically is talking about rules for warfare. And it says that when you go into a siege, you can cut down any tree you want to, but you can't cut down the trees that are bearing fruit. And so, you know, sometimes you're reading the Word and going, okay, God, how does this apply to me? Because I'm not going to be in a battle where I have to cut down trees anytime soon, you know. But I'm in a spiritual battle. And so I have to look at if there's a tree that's bearing fruit. If that tree's bearing fruit, I'm not allowed to cut it down. Now, we want watermelons. You know, that's the fruit we want to see. Sometimes all you see is a Marionberry, you know. But if they have fruit, okay, then let it go. What is the fruit? The fruit that's leading to salvation. It's a fruit where you see people focusing and glorifying God. If they are glorifying somebody who's in Christian music, if they're glorifying a particular pastor, and they don't walk away glorifying God, then you got to start wondering what's going on.
All right. Number seven, brings correction. That's what miracles do. Or instigates rebellion. That's what magic does. Brings correction or instigates rebellion. 1 Samuel 12:17. I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. You remember that story that Samuel, you know, he just grieved that people wanted a king. We want a king. We want a king, just like all the other countries. So God gave him a king. Look what they got. They got Saul. And the people were rebelling because they didn't want God as king anymore. They didn't want a theocracy. They wanted a monarchy just like everybody else, and they got it. So sometimes you get what you pray for. Sometimes it's not the best. Sometimes you pray and you pray and you pray and you go, Lord, why can't I have this? Why can't I have this? And he's keeping it back, and all of a sudden you step out to make it happen, and he goes, go ahead. You're going to do it anyway, so go ahead. And then you end up with, ugh.
You know, it says that, I think it's in Romans 1, it says that, you know, if you keep going in a place that's sinful, it's actually God's wrath that gives you over to a debased mind to do those things that are unfitting. And you think, it, you know, there's all sorts of the big sins that we have in the church. you know, you could pick them out. You know, there's pornography and there's homosexuality and there's all this other stuff. And God goes, yeah, and there's also lying and gossip and being unloving. And he has a list of about, you know, 20 things that are down there. And so we like to pick on this group of people, but, you know, I think we should have a, you know, anti-gossip day in the church. You know, nobody ever looks at that. And people go, well, you know, God loves me enough. See, God's not punishing me. He, you know, I do it. Doesn't matter. God goes, really? It's his wrath that's putting you into that place and letting you keep going there. You want to do it? He's going to go, bing, and let you shoot over there as much as you want. See how you like it. And so we have to really, that's why you got to be in the Word, because if you just think, goodness, guys, I mean, at least twice a year, if not more now recently, I get girls who come in and they'll go, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have an abortion, but I know that God will forgive me, so I'll repent after I'm done. That's a real backwards thinking, and we have a whole nother story we can do about that and a whole nother sermon.
All right. Number eight, brings complete and lasting healing. That's what miracles do. But magic brings limited and transient healing. So there's healing, okay? Anybody ever read The Beautiful Side of Evil?
Yes.
By Johanna Michelson? It's back in the 80s, there was a book. But I still remember that book, and it's like, wow. She saw miracles. She saw these psychic surgeries and all these different things. And it was untrue, but it was a healing initially. But then after that, the person got worse because they submitted themselves to demonic stuff.
Yeah, and see, and that's the thing, guys, is like, remember the verse I just read. There's going to be people who are going to be raised from the dead. They're going to be healed. There's all this stuff. But again, you've got to look at everything we're teaching. You got to take it all in context, because even with the healings and things that she had, I walked in that area before we came to the Lord. It's very real. You know, you can't say it's not real. The person couldn't walk before, now they're walking. But it always comes with a catch. You know, there's a couple places that we know that people go to and they get prayed over for healing, and it never fails. When somebody tells me they're going there, I can write it on my calendar, and 60 days later, they will be back in my office because they're worse than they were when they went in before. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. See, there's things that do happen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's like most of you know in here, it's physically impossible for me to walk. Can't walk. My last four vertebrae pretty much don't exist. And yet you see me walking and running and doing all sorts of stuff. So healing absolutely does happen, but you've got to be very careful. So sometimes all you have to know is that, like, one of the things that we see is that there are places that sometimes people get healed, but they walk out of there and they have such blasphemous thoughts and bitterness and anger. And I mean, it is just, there's not good fruit of the Spirit that comes out with it. So watch and see. And don't be desperate. Don't just go to anybody at any time. Make sure that they are in line with what God says, because there are absolute good things that are out there too. So you got 2 Kings 5:14. Under that one, 2 Kings 5:14. So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And then Luke 11:26. And the state of the man becomes worse than the first. So it's Luke 11:26. Number nine is that its miracles are associated only with truth. Only with truth. Where the magic is associated with error mixed with the truth. You know, when I was in the occult, I remember the teacher, the government was paying for me to take college courses in parapsychology. And they'd always tell you that Jesus, they'd speak about Jesus. And see, what they taught you, though, that the devil was real, but the devil was kind of like bumper cars, so that if you're going off the wrong direction, he'd bump you to get you back in the right direction. There were a lot of seances that were held in churches, and Christian churches. I kind of wonder if the pastors knew what was going on there now that I know the other stuff. But you hear a lot of Christianese. You'll hear about prophecy, you'll hear about angels, you'll hear about all sorts of things. But are you hearing about Jesus Christ? You know, one parent called me a couple weeks ago and she goes, I want to know what you think about this one ministry. And I said, We don't say this very often. I think we've maybe only said this twice in 20 years, but this particular one is right from the pit of hell. It's right from the pit of hell. And I can give her pages and pages and pages of why I think that. And she goes, well, I look at it this way. You know, it's that verse that says in there that as long as, you know, God's word is done, whether they're preaching from selfish ambition or not, it doesn't matter. I said, no. It says, as long as Christ is preached. I said, you've watched this ministry, you're there. How often is Christ preached? And she goes, never. I said, okay, run away. You know, don't go to some place that isn't preaching Jesus Christ. They might use his name, but be careful. Oh, God. It was just I started reading the word. Peter and I were courting long distance, so that was really good. We couldn't touch each other. And so one day he asked me, he goes, go get a Bible. He goes, I want to see if the Bible has stuff in it that's true. Literally, I couldn't think of anything more embarrassing in my life to go to buy a Bible. And so I went to B. Dalton, then I went back by the bathrooms, because that's where the inspirational section always is. If you ever want to know, look for the bathrooms, there's the Bible section. And I went back there, and I just grabbed anything that said Bible. It could have been the cooking Bible or the vitamin Bible. I just grabbed a Bible, and I took the cover, and I held it to me like this, with the cover to me. And I'm looking around, seeing if there's anybody I knew, and there's nobody. And so I hurry up and go up to the counter, and the lady's there, and she's checking me out. She goes, oh, a Bible! I'm going, shh! Don't tell anybody. And that's really, literally, the very first thing that we read. It was just one of God's things. We opened up, and it was a section that says, don't worship the stars. And I'm thinking, man, if he doesn't like astrology, astrology's like, you know, elementary school compared to what I'm doing. I mean, I'm literally watching people move things with their heads and things happening. Sorry. And I thought, man, if he doesn't like that, I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble. And that's what got us. We had never had anyone witness to us. We just kept reading the Bible. And when we moved to Oregon, we thought all churches were Christian. And of course, where does Satan lead us? To the most liberal church you can get to that teaches about the whales and saves the ducks and all this stuff. Don't preach about God. And then we had some really great people from Big Four Square Church in Beaverton that just started witnessing to us and going, really? Is this true? You know, what does your Bible say? And they just kind of latched onto us, and we ended up getting baptized on our first anniversary.
Mm-hmm. It dovetails with how many Christians, born again Christians, have their horoscope sign with their cross.
Mm-hmm.
And
they have no clue.
Bible study group, what's that? How come?
Yeah. This week alone, I had three different people who came in, and I asked them all the same question. I said, have you heard the Bible verse that says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand? No. Let's start getting more basic. Okay, have you heard the story about the 10 lepers that were healed and one of them came back? No. Do you know the story of David and Bathsheba? No. And I did that. I actually did that to two of them. I went, Jonah and the whale.
Yeah, VeggieTales. I remember that.
And they go, no, they've never heard of it. And these are in mainline, really big churches in this area. They're not taught the word. They're taught these topical studies around the area. And so they never touch on a lot of these subjects. And it's really a shame because every one of these people needed those words. They needed the stories that were there for the position they were in. Would have helped them great. So let's keep going. We got a lot more to go.
Associated with only with truth. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. Associated only with truth, that's miracles. And associated with error mixed with truth is magic. Error mixed with truth or only truth?
So the verse for that is Matthew 7, 22 and 23. This is the one that gets me, you guys. Man, every time. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. Okay, what do we do in our ministry?
Yeah.
We prophesy, we cast out demons, and we perform miracles, and yet these are people who are doing things in his name, and yet he's going to say, I never knew you. So that tells you that there are people who are doing miracles, who are going to prophesy all these things, and yet they're not of God. So you got to be careful. And, you know, how does he know us? You know, a couple weeks ago we talked about with James when he says, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee, draw near to God. You got to sandwich both of those things. You got to submit by knowing the word. You got to draw near to God in prayer, and that's how you're going to resist the devil. If I'm not in communication with God every single day, well, anyway, most days. This week we had a gal who works at a really gigantic church, thousands of people church. And I said, how often do you spend in prayer and in reading your word? She goes, never. And she goes, I know people think that, you know, in ministry, we all sit around playing harps and read our Bibles and pray all day long. She works an 80-hour week. That's very common. They'll tell you when you get hired on at a church, yeah, we're hiring you for 40 hours, but you need to expect to work at least 60 or more. And so these people are so busy, they don't have time to do the basic elementary principles of the faith. The other thing that's kind of cool is I say to people all the time, is that if I called you at night, every one of you, I just called you for 30 seconds, and I went, hi, Billy, I'm just calling to say how your day was. Oh, it was rough. Okay, honey, I'm going to pray for you tonight. Wouldn't you feel special? Yeah, that's all God says is just say hi, you know? If I call most of you, well, most of you who know us, but like if I called you, you're a new person, and I just went, hi, how are you? You'd be going, okay, who is this? You don't know my voice. But the more we have a relationship, you know, if I call Peter and go, hey, I have a question, he knows exactly who's on the other end. If he goes, who are you? I get to slap him. But
if she says, do you know where? And I go, nope.
Well, that's just being married. But we, you know, that's the thing is you want that enough of a relationship that God knows who you are. I mean, it's not like he's up there going, oh, Kathy, I don't remember you. He just wants that relationship. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. And that's what we've got to make sure that we're doing those basic things in the faith. So number 10, the miracles affirm Jesus is God in the flesh. Affirms that Jesus is God in the flesh. The magic denies that Jesus is God in the flesh. There's a group of people that come. We have a list that I just made out of frustration, really. And it's like 30 verses that all say Jesus is God. And every single time they come to my house and knock on my door, I hand them this piece of paper. And I said, if you can show me that even one of these verses does not say that Jesus is God, I will listen to you. They've never come back. And so now the whole neighborhood goes, go talk to them in that house. And if they'll listen to you, we'll talk to you. You know, so I said, we should have this little flag that goes out. This is red, green, you know, whatever it is. One guy came back and he sent his wife. And she goes, you know, my husband said he read what you said. And I thought, yeah, he probably read the title and that was it. And she goes, but he wants you to know that the Trinity was actually created by the Catholics at this such and such, you know, BC. And I went, honey, you have the same Bible I do. I said, turn over to Genesis. And so she turns to Genesis. I said, Genesis 1. I said, I just want you to read verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. I said, who's the us and who's the our? She goes, okay, it was nice talking to you. See you later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Can overcome God's enemies, miracles, and magic cannot overcome God's people. This is one of my favorite stories. Numbers 22, 17, 18. Please come then, curse this people for me. I could not do anything, neither great nor small, contrary to the command of the Lord. This is Balaam. Remember Balaam? And Balaam says he's going to make some money, filthy lucre off of the, you know, he's going to curse God's people. And God says, don't do it. They're my people. And he ends up prophesying good thing. And then Barak's mad at him. And he goes back again to ask God. And he says, can I curse God's people? No, you can't curse this people. They're my people. Third time he goes, and it's like, it's almost like God changed his mind. He goes, go ahead. You know why? Because he rides a stubborn donkey. See, a stubborn donkey rides a stubborn donkey. And then the donkey crushes his foot against the wall because there's this angel in the way going to slice him up. And I just love the dialogue, right? The donkey in perfect King James English says, have I thou not serveth thou all these years? And Balaam sitting on the donkey says, nay, you know? So donkey, you know, so Balaam talks like an ass, excuse me, and the ass talks like he's, you know, a human being. So anyway, I just think that's funny. All right, they can overcome God's enemies, miracles, but magic cannot overcome God's people. Numbers 22:17-18. I'll read the last one.
Okay. 12. The miracles are never associated with occult practices. Never, 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 never. Where magic is always associated with occult or New Age practices. And note, sometimes this is done in Christian settings. So it's the miracles are never associated with occult practices, and the magic is always associated with occult and New Age practices. There is no angel of beauty who will come and help you do your hair in the morning.
You mean Emma's not going to come and shake
come
her
either.
Things out and give
Mm-mm.
me gold dust and stuff?
Not either. You know, my kids, one of the best places if you have kids to teach your children is on the grocery line, because they have all those weird newspapers, you know. Jesus has come back to earth, you know. And so I'd say to my kids, why is that not true? And they'd have to defend it biblically. Why is that not true? Well, there was a women's retreat that they asked me to talk on a bunch of different things, and one of them was on angels. And so Josiah and I are standing in the checkout line. There happens to be one of those little books, and it's all about angels, and it quotes Billy Graham and all these big name people. And you're not into this in like three pages even, and you just know this is so New Age, this whole book. And so angels are never bad is what this book says. And so I look at Josiah and I go, why isn't that true? And he goes, how about the angel of death? I said, yeah, that would be pretty bad, you know. And so that's the thing, guys, is that you have to look, is that we have so many things that, like we said, we're going to look about prophetic and clairvoyant. We have far more people in our churches that are clairvoyant than they are prophetic. But our churches don't know the difference. And so they just kind of let these people run wild. And that's why we try to do things. We want to show you the good part first. And that's why Peter spoke a couple weeks ago about this is what prophetic stuff is supposed to be. And so if you'd missed that, you can go get the CD on it. But you have to remember that there's other things that come out that are sound prophetic, and you got to know the word to know what you're seeing. Even sometimes, remember it says, in the end times, if possible, even the elect is going to be deceived. So the people who are coming down the pike are going to be really good, so that we're all going to be sitting here and going, okay, I don't think they're right, but they're real good. So you have to be careful. The scripture for this one is Deuteronomy 18:10-13. Deuteronomy 18:10-13. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. There aren't a whole bunch of things that they say that there is an abomination to God. This is one of those things. When you do those things, you're an absolute detestable thing to God. I just can't even imagine when some of these people go and they stand up in front of God. You know, they're going to be surprised. And then there's the other people who, like, I used to work for the visiting nurses, and there was this little old lady, I wish I had kept this poem, but the whole poem she wrote was about how, you know, she was on her final days, and she got up to heaven, and she's standing there, and there's all these people waiting to greet her, and there were all these people that she was shocked as could be that they were up in heaven. And then she looked at their faces, and they were shocked as could be that she was there. So, yeah, it goes both ways.
All right. Now, before we get into the prophetic and clairvoyant, I want you to draw three little figures, okay? three sources of revelation. I want you to draw a heart, okay? And I want you to put eternal in the heart, okay? Heart.
Heart.
Thum, 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 thum. Heart.
Okay? It comes with sound effects.
The next to that, draw a box, okay? And in the box, put internal. And then next to that, draw a circle with two horns on the top and a little goatee on the bottom. And I want you to put infernal in that one. Okay?
We're going to compare
there
your drawing.
Is the three sources of revelation, where revelation comes from. One is an eternal being who is God. Okay? God gives revelation. Right? Also, individuals or humans have revelation. And, of course, old Slewfoot, old Infernal, can also have revelation from that source.
So you have scriptures for all of these. For okay. The eternal is 1 Corinthians 12, 5 through 6. 1 Corinthians 12, bless you, 5 through 6. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16, still under God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And also under God is 1 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so that's 1 Peter 1:21. You know, I think it was you who told me this, because you're so brilliant, that if you look at the whole book of Acts is like 25 years. And in 25 years, there were only like three miracles done and five prophetic words given. And so when you look at that span of time, we've got to be very selective. And so that's why we've said it before, we'll keep saying it again. If you have a prophetic word here, you have to run by one of the elder guys or Peter or me and tell us what it is. And if we think it's appropriate for that moment, we'll let you go. If it's a revelatory word, you write it out. The guys will pray over it. And if they really feel like it's from God, then they'll read it probably at one of the next services. Because we want to make sure if you give a prophetic word and you're wrong, you were supposed to be stoned to death. You know, every single time.
So we have
time,
this stone pile out there. No.
We're going to make a necklace that has little stones in it, because every time we go in and speak somewhere, there's somebody who comes up that goes, I have a word from the Lord for you. And so we open it up, we get our rock ready, because if they're wrong, we're supposed to go, stone them. But it's amazing how people just so arbitrarily will do that and really not consider the consequences. Pea shooters. Yeah, those would work good too. Okay, so the next one is for the internal or individuals. The Bible verse for that is Jeremiah 23, 16, and 17. And guys, for all at least 10 verses I could put under it, just read Jeremiah all the time. He's saying the same thing. So it's Jeremiah 23, 16, and 17. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Are we not seeing that in this day and age? I mean, if one little person comes up to me again and goes, the Lord said, my dear little children, have fluff. You know, things are wonderful. And I'm like, where did you ever see a word given like that? You know, we've talked about what prophecy is for correction and comfort and all these things, but that's not comfort. That's just like, so? God had me go talk to a group of ladies who are very high into the prophecy, and I always pray before I go and I speak someplace. And in this one, God said, you need to speak on Jeremiah. And I went, oh, God, don't make me do that. That's like going to a farmer and telling him his cows get bad milk. You know, I mean, they don't want to hear Jared, these verses, you know, from this. So I actually went to the lady who was in charge and I said, okay, look, I said, this is what I feel like God is telling me to speak. And she goes, well, you know, I really think that that's more for the leadership and not for the ladies in this group. And I said, then that's fine, then I'm out. I said, and I don't mind. I said, if you don't want me to go, I said, but this is what God told me to speak. And for some bizarre reason, she let me come. So we go to this group. Peter came with me, and there's 200, 300 ladies that were there. And I start speaking, and you could hear a pin drop. And they, I mean, if looks could kill, I was in so much trouble. And all of a sudden, this one pastor's wife goes, come on, don't you stop. We need to hear this. And I'm like, okay. So I keep going, and the looks are getting worse. And some other lady in the back goes, don't you give up, girl. This is exactly what we need to hear. And I keep going. And I mean, all through it, like five different times, these ladies stood up and said, you keep going. You just keep going all the way through it. So I did. And, you know, some of them clapped for me when I was done. And then the leader comes up right after we're done. I mean, right after we're done, she goes, I have a word, my dear little children. I'm like, oh, they didn't hear a thing I said. But I delivered the word I was supposed to deliver. Under the enemy, you've got two verses, Acts 16:16 and 1 Timothy 4:1. Acts 16:16 and 1 Timothy 4:1. So Acts 16:16 is, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who bought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And then 1 Timothy is, now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These are people who are in the faith who are going to be doing this. And so, guys, again, we're going to have to be very, very discerning about who's speaking words to us and how they're speaking. Even those words, even if we do, you guys, pray about it. You know, if you see that we're saying something and it's not in here, challenge us. Please do it in private. But, you know, challenge us and just say, you know what, you guys, you're talking about this and I don't see how that fits in here. Because we want to be right on target. We spoke to 200 pastors once. And this guy came up from Vail after we were done, and he gets right in my face like this, and he goes, I don't believe a thing that you're teaching. And we always do, God just gives us grace. We go, great, show us the scripture where we're wrong, because if we're wrong, we don't. He goes, I don't have any scripture, I just don't believe it. I'm like, okay, I have scripture, so I'm not moving from where I am right now. So you've got to stay in the word and have, and in context. Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's not in the Bible.
Show me where that is.
Yeah, he helps us in spite of ourselves.
I'm going to ask Janet to get some more note paper because everybody's run out of note paper. And because we're going to go through the second part is the prophetic and the clairvoyant, and you're all out of paper, so I'm going to ask Janet to hand you some extras here. There's plenty to go around. Huh? Yeah. Anybody, if you need extra ones. All right. So, let's finish with this. We're just going to do the same thing, the list of prophetic and clairvoyant. Okay, so you can do that right down on the left-hand side and the right-hand side. Prophetic and clairvoyant. So now we looked at miracles and magic. Now we look at prophetic and clairvoyant. Well, I always wanted to do prophetic and pathetic, but, you know, whatever.
C-L-A-I-R-V-O-Y-A-N-T.
Clairvoyant. All right, spelling bee, people. Yay.
You're all going to edit the book when I'm done.
I'm just going to give you this scripture verse first. 2 Corinthians 11. 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Therefore, it is no great thing if ministers of Satan transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, because Satan became an angel of light, whose end will be according to their works. We're doing a study of Revelation at King City when we have our Bible study. And we went into chapter 6, and the white horse, you know, what did Jesus say in the Olivet Discourse? The first thing was, when they said, what are the signs of your coming? He said, be careful, for there will be false Christ coming in my name. That's the first thing. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Okay? So there's prophetic, and we recognize the prophetic ministry. If you go online at the reclaimingvictory.org, and you go onto where Rushing Wind is, and you go over where it says what we believe, we have an outline there, and it says what we believe about the prophetic, like I've talked about the last couple of weeks. So we're recognizing this, because it says don't forsake prophetic utterances, but we're going to test all things. And so the clairvoyant thing is the thing that comes in, and a lot of stuff that's going on in the church right now is this Christianized clairvoyancy. So prophetic, first thing, is it's inspired by God, where clairvoyant is human or demonic inspiration. So inspired by God, 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we already talked about that. And 2 Samuel 23:2 is also, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and his word was on my tongue.
See, I like that verse because I have, you know, my weird list that some of you know, I always keep weird lists in the back of my Bible. And one of them is people go, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come till the New Testament. You got to be kidding me. There are so many places where the Spirit's talked about, and the 2 Samuel is one of them. It's the Spirit, big S, of the Lord spoke to me. And so he's back there too.
But the Jeremiah 14, well, that's like Tony says, all you got to do is read Jeremiah and you see all this false prophecy. Jeremiah 14:14, they prophesy to you false visions and divination. Jeremiah 23:13, they prophesy by Baal. Ezekiel 13:6, they have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them.
See, so just because somebody says, thus says the Lord, it could be a lot of different lords. So don't always take it. Remember, Peter talked to you a couple weeks ago and said about like when the lady came to us and told us we were going to be the head of the whole homeschooling movement in Oregon. No, didn't happen. Okay, number two, the prophetic is divine, where the clairvoyant is divination. So prophetic's divine, clairvoyant's divination. And two verses under that are Ezekiel 13:6. It says, they see falsehood and lying divination, who are saying, the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. See how many different verses say the same thing? The Lord declares this, and he's going, nope, didn't do it. So that's Ezekiel 13:6. And then Jeremiah 14:14, which is up above again. Go.
Oh. That's my turn? Okay. All right, prophetic glorifies God. And the clairvoyant glorifies the person.
And it's the person giving or receiving. It may not always be the person giving it.
Now, we just did this one, Acts 8:9. There was a certain man called Simon who had previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people in Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. We did that study, remember that? Simon the sorcerer. Jeremiah 23:32. Behold, I'm against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them. Reckless boasting. So glorifying God or glorifying the person, giving or receiving the news. Prophetic draws people closer to God, number four, and it also, on the clairvoyant side, makes the person forget God. And it's based on experiences. Don't you hear that lately? Is experiences, experiences.
We drum into you when at the office, you'll hear it here again. The way for you to think is you go to the truth is first, belief or convictions is second, actions, and then feelings. So So it's truth, belief, actions, and feelings. And we go backwards. We start with the feelings. And because we feel a certain way, we act a certain way. And because we act that way, we start believing we're that way. And so instead of into truth, you end up in deception. The problem with being deceived is you're deceived because you don't know you're deceived because you're deceived. That's why we need each other, so that when I start going, okay, everyone's going to wear pink tutus to church this week, you can all go, Tony, no. Pull back over here, get in the Word. And so that's the thing, is that where the prophetic draws the person closer to God, the clairvoyant makes the person forget God and rely on the clairvoyant, rely on their own powers, their experiences, or their feelings. And like, we've had people who've come to work for us at the ministry, and people will not make a move unless that person gets a word from the Lord. And they would call and go, I have to have her give me a word. And we would go, you know what? I'll pray with you right now. God will give you a word. No, it has to come from her. And then eventually she started believing her own press clippings, and we finally went, Henny, you go off on your own, because your vision now is totally different than what ours is. If it raises that person up, you got to run away. So under that is Jeremiah 23:27. Who intended to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which they related to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal. So it's Jeremiah 23:27. Number five, the prophetic directs. It moves you into Christ-likeness. So the prophetic moves you into Christ-likeness. It directs. Where the clairvoyant informs. And so it reflects feelings and events. And, you know, I love it when people come up and go, I know this is what you feel. It's like, no, you don't know what I feel. I make a very good psychiatrist, don't I? I go, and how do you feel today? No, you can slap me if I ever do that to you guys. So number five, the prophetic directs. So it moves you into Christ-likeness, and the clairvoyant informs, and it reflects events and feelings. So the verse under that is Jeremiah 23:14-22. Jeremiah 23:14-22. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. So see, God's word is important. There's life in this word. And so that's the thing, is I'm supposed to be reflecting God's word to the people, not turning them away from it. Number six is that the prophetic reflects God's will. The prophetic reflects God's will. And the clairvoyant feeds human or demonic will and desires. It feeds human or demonic will and desires. So your Bible verse for that is Ezekiel 13:7. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? So it's Ezekiel 13:7. Okay, so prophetic, number seven, speaks the truth. Prophetic speaks the truth, and the clairvoyant tickles your ears with lies. So it speaks the truth and tickles your ears with lies. So two verses for that then are Jeremiah 23:17. And if you don't get all this right now, we'll just lay this out on the table and you can look at it later. So if you're getting writer's cramp, you can do that. So Jeremiah 23:17 says, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. 1 Kings 22:13. Is behold, now the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. You know, there's that verse that said in the end times, people will be turned aside to myths because they're going to get their ears tickled. And that when you study that out in the Greek, it actually means that they will have a demonic element that will literally turn their heads like this. So Peter and I were visiting a relative of mine. It has to be my side of the family, of course. And we were there, and we arrived, and we got there like at noontime, and they were just like having a beer every 15 minutes. We figured it out that two of them each drank a case of beer, because they had a beer every 15 minutes until we left about 10 o'clock that night. And they didn't start slurring their words until about 9, so we figured they're pretty pickled. But earlier in the day, the guy is sitting in the jacuzzi, and I started noticing that every single time I said anything Christianese, he would go like this and turn his head to the side, like looking over his shoulders. So I started playing with this. And I'd go, you know, we really prayed for good weather, and he'd turn his head. And we go, you know, and when we went from church today, you know, and he'd turn his head. And so I did this for like an hour. And then I finally went up to Peter. I go, you got to try this. This is so fun. So he goes up, and he tries it. We figured this guy, by the end of the night, you know, his neck must have been hurting. But it never failed. Whenever we mentioned anything with God, it was like, turn it over to the side. So we got to see that, and for real, for real. Okay, number eight is the prophetic stand firmly in Scripture. The prophetic will stand firmly in Scripture, where the clairvoyant perverts God's word or steals God's word from the hearer. So the prophetic stands firmly in Scripture, and the clairvoyant perverts God's word or steals God's word from the hearer. So again, I just love Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 23:30. It says, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. And so it's so depressing sometimes, because people go and listen to these people and they get filled with all these, you know, wonderful things. And I'll go, if that's true, why does it say this here? And you can just see them, they're like, but he said. I said, I don't care if he said. God said this. And it's really, they're stealing God's word away, that they're not paying attention to what he's saying. Another verse under that is 23:36 in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23:36, it says, for you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Number nine is that the prophetic humbles the servants of God. So the prophetic humbles the servants of God. And the clairvoyant is seeking personal glory and riches. So the prophetic humbles the servants of God. It is given by humble servants of God too, I guess. And the clairvoyant is seeking personal glory and riches. So you got Micah 11:3. Oh, no, sorry, I'm backwards. Micah 3:11. It says that they divine for money. And then Jeremiah 6:13, and it's also Jeremiah 8:10. He repeats it again. So Jeremiah 6:13 and 8:10. For the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone makes lies.
All right. We're coming in the closing here. Encourages righteousness, number 10. That's what the prophetic does. Encourages righteousness, and the clairvoyant either encourages or overlooks unrighteousness. Jeremiah 23:13, and cause my people Israel to err, and cause my people to err in their lies and in their recklessness. So prophetic will always point to righteousness, whereas the clairvoyant is unrighteous. You're out of paper. Okay, there's a couple more. Draws you closer to God, obviously, prophetic, and draws you away from God and away from Scripture, and gives this hyper-spirituality to receiving words and Christian paranormal experiences. And we're seeing that all over the place. We're just seeing it everywhere.
Draws away from God.
Draws you closer to God, or draws you away from God and Scripture.
Yeah, we have people who call us all the time and telling them the new term in Christianese is God's giving them downloads. And it depends on how big of a download you get. You might get 12 pages, but I got 13 pages. And it's glorifying the person. It's the quantity that you're getting instead of the quality. God's real good. He can give you one word and it'll say volumes.
You know, if you want to do a really fun little study, go through the book of Jeremiah and see how many times the Lord spoke to Jeremiah through that whole book, and over all those years and all the kings that he served. Because it'll say, in such and such year of Josiah, at such and such month, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And then it's like, you know, a year later or, you know, something like that. It's not like every day downloading 12 pages from God. And we've come full cycle because here we are in Acts 13, 6 and 8. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. How did we plan that?
I don't know. Because we're one flesh. That's right. How it works. Okay, so the prophetic, number 12. We only got this one and one more to go. 12, rest on God's word in Scripture for his purpose. So the prophetic rests on God's word in Scripture for his purposes. And then the clairvoyant rests on the prophet's word and esteems their own purposes. So it rests on the false prophet's word and esteems their own purpose. And the little extra part of that is that it also makes you ineffective for God. So where the prophetic rests on God's word in Scripture for his purposes, the clairvoyant rests on the false prophet's word, esteems their own purposes, and makes you ineffective for God. And your verse there is Jeremiah 23:16. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. And that's what happens, is we become worthless when we go into that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Last but not least, 13, follow the dictates of God's heart. So that's what a real prophetic word does. Versus the clairvoyance follows the dictates of their own heart, the false prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among the brethren, and he will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command him. You know who that's talking about, right? It's Jesus. Jeremiah 23:26. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are the prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Now, why did we do this? Lists and have you write these things down, and you can look them up later and stuff. And it kind of goes, now we didn't plant these things. You know, we didn't plant this Acts 13 in there, or we didn't have Kathy say, you know, slip about Ephesians. But here's Ephesians 4. And somebody asked me this the other day, because some of these movements have the fivefold ministry and stuff like that. Look, it's in the Word, okay? But this is what the fivefold ministry is supposed to be about. Ephesians 4:11. He personally gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what purpose? For the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body in Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then you will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning and cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way unto him who is the head, Christ. That's why we do it, because we want to train you, and we want to all learn, so that when things come down the pike, you have your little discernment antenna up, and you go, beep, 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 eh, not good, I'm not going to listen to that. I mean, we have people that tell us they listen, and they watch this stuff that's going on with these manifestations for 4 hours in front of the television of this revival, supposable revival going on. And it's like, why are you wasting your time? We looked at something on the internet. We couldn't even look at it for 5 minutes without getting sick to your stomach.
Well, there was one. He had this gal he pulled up that was speaking. And he goes, I'm somewhere in the house. And he's going, honey, come here. You got to see this. And he pulls this gal up and she goes, folks, we're supposed to preach the good news. Good news. We're not supposed to talk about sin. We're not supposed to talk about hell. We're not supposed to talk about condemnation. We're not supposed to talk about sickness. We're not supposed to talk about repentance. We are only supposed to preach the good news. And I went, no, run away, run away. So, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we share this stuff with you, so that you're equipped and informed, and because you're to do the work of ministry. You're going to meet people that we'll never meet and such. And when these things come down the pike, you can tell them, you know what? This isn't good.
Yeah, read Jeremiah.
Read Jeremiah.
Come back to me tomorrow. Take three Jeremiahs.
All right. So anyway, let's pray. Thank you for sitting through these lists, but they're very good. Keep them in your Bible so that you'll always have them for good reference. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for going through this. Thank you for Tony and I getting to teach together. Lord, please, please help us in these last days, Lord, to be discerning and to put things through the Word. And Lord, that we do believe in miracles, but we also know there's counterfeit from the enemy. We do believe in prophetic, but we also know there's counterfeit clairvoyant from the enemy. So please keep us sharp, Lord. And please, Lord, when we are maybe baffled about something, let's go to each other and go in the Word and ask each other for help, Lord. So just bless this food that we're going to partake in our potluck, to our bodies, and thank you for everybody that came tonight. And we just ask your continued blessing on our conversation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.